If you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like you to ask you to stand for the reading of it in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It's on page 392 in that King James Bible in your pew. Proverbs chapter 1, starting with verse 7. And here the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I'd like to preach just for a few minutes this morning on the subject of America, a nation of fools. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the reading of your word. God, I'm asking you now to hide me behind this podium this morning. Lord, hide me behind your cross and let you be seen and visible. May we leave here knowing what a mighty God that we serve. For it's these things we ask in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. Well, this past July the 4th, we celebrated the nation's birth of 239 years. It's our 239th birthday in the United States of America as a nation. What a great nation that we were, a nation that started out as a godly nation. And, you know, really, we're not that old compared to a lot of nations. Egypt is over 5,000 years old. A lot of the nations over there in the Middle East, Iran, very old nations. But here in the United States of America, we're very young, 239 years old. That's young for a nation. But when we become a nation, we were founded upon God. We say on the back of our money, "In God we trust." Our founding fathers did believe in God. They did start this country as a godly nation, despite what some people make you believe today. A lot of the atheists today will try to convince you that this was not founded up with godly principles, that these men were simply just independent men, that many of them were deist and theist and atheist and so forth and so on. But I want you to know the majority of our founding fathers were of the Christian faith. They did believe in God. They were godly men, and they did form this nation as a godly nation. And we've been that way, and God has blessed us because of it. We chose God as our God. Now, God chose Israel, his people, and we as a people chose God as our God of heaven. We chose him. He comes down and he sees that lost sinner, and he is the one that comes to save the lost. It says that no man seeks after God, but this country was founded as a godly nation. Now, I know I keep saying that, but I want you to get that into your mind this morning as I preach this message. And this may, I don't know if it may offend folks. If it does, then you probably belong in the wrong country. You may want to move. But this nation, like I said, was founded as a godly nation. But we have quickly, over 239 years, become a nation of fools. A nation of fools. Our opening text said, "The fear of the Lord." That's in all capital letters there, the L-O-R-D. That is God Jehovah. That is the Jesus of the Old Testament. That is our Lord. And it says is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If ever there was a time that a people despised instructions, despised God, despised wisdom, and did not fear God, is the time we live in today. We have become a nation of fools. The atheists and the liberals will deny, like I said, that this was founded upon a godly principles. They want to focus on that word independent, that we were an independent group of people, which we were. But definitely that. But there was one thing in common. Men of that day, when they started this nation, feared God. They feared God and they believed in God. And may I quote to you the beginning of our Declaration of Independence this morning. The beginning of it says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. That Creator is a capital C. With certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our forefathers recognized that the Creator is the bestower of truth. Did you notice what it said? We hold these truths. These truths that the Creator, they were endowed by our Creator God. Not only did they start out the Declaration of Independence by proclaiming God as being our Creator, but they also ended it with the same thought. It says, "And for the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Those words there, divine providence, that means God's intervention on all things that take place, his sovereignty. And they believed in God's sovereignty. I believe in God's sovereignty today. I believe that everything passes through God's hand. They believed in God, and they believed that His hand was upon everything, especially where this nation was considered. James Madison. I'm going to give you a little bit of history today, so don't go to sleep. But James Madison, one of the writers of the Declaration of Independence, and later became the fourth president of the United States, in the closing of his inaugural address, I want to read you what he closed his inaugural address with. And you try to think of his inaugural closing, his address, to those of today. Listen to what he said. He said this on March 4th, 1809. "But the source to which I look, or the aids which alone can supply my deficiencies, is in the well-tried intelligence and virtue of my fellow citizens, and in the counsels of those representing them, and in the other departments associated in the care of the national interest. And these my confidence will, under every difficulty, be best placed next to that which we have all been encouraged to feel in the guardianship and guidance of that almighty being whose power regulates the destiny of nations, whose blessings have been so conspicuously dispensed to this rising republic, and to whom we are bound to address our devout gratitude for the past, as well as our fervent supplications and best hopes for the future." When's the last time you heard a president end his inaugural address with those words? With one that recognized that Almighty God was the one responsible for our freedom, for this republic that we have, for our independent nation. He recognized the Almighty God, and he said that it is with Him that we have any hope for the future. Any hope for the future. Now, if you talk to some people today, and they will list off names of those founding fathers, those that we're all familiar with, we learned about them in school, Benjamin Franklin, for example, and Thomas Jefferson, and I know these men had their flaws. Some of them were had some bad theology, but Benjamin Franklin is one that has been turned to be a deist. Now, a deist believes that God created the world and then abandoned it. A deist has no need to pray because everything is just left up to chance and left up to how men take it. That's what a deist believes. A deist has no need of praying, and people accuse Benjamin Franklin of being one. Today's men do. I want you to read or listen to what Benjamin Franklin wrote down in his writings. Listen to this. Benjamin Franklin, in 1787, he wrote the following. "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without His aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without His concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our partial local interest. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. And what governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest? I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers, imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations, be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service." My, what a difference we have in our Congress today. Can you imagine one of our congressmen standing up and declaring such a thing and stating the very fact that if we leave God out of our lives and out of our nation, that we'll no longer be a great nation? That's what he said. He also wrote in a letter to his son in 1771. He said, "Son, I speak of thanking God. I desire with all humility to acknowledge that I owe the mentioned happiness of my past life to His kind providence, which led me to the means I used and gave them success. My belief of this induces me to hope that I must not presume that the same goodness will still be exercised toward me in continuing that happiness or enabling me to bear a fatal reverse, which I may experience as others have done, the complexion of my future fortune being known to Him only, and whose power it is blessed to us even our afflictions." I think it's pretty clear that Benjamin Franklin believed God. He believed that God was the one that enabled man to be what he is and enabled our nation to be a great nation, and that our future depends upon our knowledge and fear of God. My, how things have changed in 239 years. our current president. I'm not here to preach bipartisan politics or anything like that. I'm not here to preach against the government or anything like that, but I do want to reveal to you some truths. Our current Muslim president, Barack Obama, belittles Christians by calling us clinging to our guns and our religion. Same president is now arming the enemies of Israel, and in fact arming our own. He's arming enemies of ours, a nation that has said that they would kill Americans and they would destroy Israel, and we are arming them based off his decisions. The same president, October the 10th, 2010, quoted the Declaration of Independence and purposely left out the Creator out of the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. Friends, that was not a mistake. This man is not an idiot. He is a Harvard Law graduate. He is not an idiot. And he purposely left out the Creator out of the Declaration of Independence. Let me give you the quote. "As wonderful as the land is here in the United States, as much as we have been blessed by the bounty of this magnificent continent that stretches from the Atlantic to the Pacific, what makes this place special is not something physical. It has to do with this idea that was started by 13 colonies that decided to throw off the yoke of an empire and said, quote, 'We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that each of us are endowed with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.'" And he continues to misquote the Declaration of Independence to this day by leaving out anything to do with God or the Creator. That's not an accident. And like I said, I'm not here to preach politics or against the president, but these are a few examples of how our nation has changed in the last 239 years. When the president of the United States will stand up and down Christianity and mention things like the Crusades, when you mention anything about the evil that's going on out there with all the Muslims and all the terror that's going on. I want to give you a few things that's happened in the last, well, these have happened in the last 40 years. The United States legalized abortion in 1973. We preached about that not long ago. Since that time, we've aborted 55 million babies. I typically don't use the word abortion. I use the word murder, for that's what it is. And we've legalized murder in the under the lie of a woman's rights. Our Supreme Court just 2 months ago legalized same-sex marriage and says now that people of the same sex can marry each other. And they did away with the Family Marriage Act and called the homosexual agenda the same as slavery and the plight that blacks had when they were enslaved, compared to the same thing. Also, they've taken, of course, we know Bible and prayer out of our public schools. Doesn't belong there anymore. Christianity has been labeled as a terrorist organization, right up there compared with Islamic extremists. You can go look at some of the literature they're giving out now to the military, and I have all these printed out. If you don't believe what I'm saying today, you go look it up and prove me wrong, because I'm telling you the truth today. They label Christianity as a terrorist organization in comparison to Islamic extremists. So what's happened? What's happened in 239 years? I'll tell you what's happened. We've become a nation of fools, a nation that no longer fears God. The Bible said in our opening text that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And what did it say there? Let's read that again. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I believe it's pretty plain what's happened to us. We've quit fearing God. And I want to ask you this morning, I know there's several men in here that has fought in our military. They've protected our nation. I can name off names today. I'll probably forget some of them, but I know Brother Frank and Brother Joe and Brother Kurt and O.C. and Chester. And I don't know who all in here has been in the military. If you have, I'm sorry if I missed you. But I know we've got men sitting here that protected our country, a country that was founded upon godly principles and Christian values. Do you want to stand here and tell me today that these men did this for nothing? That these men sacrificed their lives, their families, everything that they had to protect this nation, this Christian nation, and now it's if nothing? Like that sacrifice was for nothing? Because that's what's happening today in this nation of fools, being ran by a party of fools. I want you to turn with me over to the Psalm, Psalm 33 and 8. Psalm 33 and 8. We find the answer here to our problems. Psalm 33 and 8. Now I realize a lot of the Old Testament, a lot of the Bible is referring directly to Israel, to God's people, His nation of Israel. But I want you to know that we can take the same application that He gives to the children of Israel and apply it to us today, to our nation today. Psalm 33 and 8, the Bible says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord." There's that word again, fear the Lord. "Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth the hearts alike. He considereth all their works." The Bible says that we are to fear the Lord. You know, it didn't say you might want to fear the Lord or you should fear the Lord. It said to fear the Lord. It's a commandment. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a commandment. We are to fear the Lord God. And when I was a young boy, to try to get kind of an example of what the Bible is speaking about, I could compare my relationship with my earthly father to that of our Heavenly Father. And I do this often, and because it's the best way that I can relate to it. And growing up as a young man, I looked up to my father. I mean, he was a great man in my eyes. And I loved him, but I feared him. There was a healthy fear of my dad because I knew my dad was the master of the house. My dad was the one that made up the rules. My dad was the one that punished me when I did wrong. My dad was the authority figure in our home. And so I looked up to him and I loved him, but I had a healthy fear of my father. Friends, that's the same way we should look at our Heavenly Father today, the one that holds this nation in His hands, the one that created us, the one that raised man up from the dirt of the ground and breathed life into his nostrils, the one that holds your very breath in His hand. At any moment, if God chose to do so, He could snuff out our lives with just the thought of it. And we should have a healthy fear of our Father in heaven, but we also have that deep love for Him because He loves us. He loves us with everything, enough that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. Our Heavenly Father, we are to fear. The Bible said there in verse 10, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." Friends, there is coming a payday one day. O.R.G. Lee used to preach that good message, "Payday Someday." There is going to be a payday coming, friends. And I'm fearing that the United States of America is going to find that payday coming sooner than what we thought. We are $18 trillion in debt, almost $19 trillion in debt. And we fear that payday coming. But friends, there's going to be another payday, that this money is going to be nothing to us. I believe without a doubt that God, one of these days, is going to catch up with us. And it's sooner than we think. Listen to Lamentations 3 and 22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." But when will God's hand of mercy stop being extended? When will He look on this nation and say, "This nation of fools that has left me, they forgot me, they've left their first love, they no longer fear me"? When will He give us up to our own vile afflictions, our flesh? When will He do that? When will He say enough? How far can we push God? The prophet Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 13 and 27, "I have seen thine adulteries and thy nayings, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem." That was written to the nation of Israel. But friends, we can apply that to us today. The application is there. When we become a nation of fools that no longer fear God, we're left up to God's just good graces and His compassions. Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, the Bible says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God." How long can we continue down the path of destruction? How long can our nation last as we become this nation of fools? It's all up to God's good graces. So what can we do about it? That's the question. We can stand up here all day and preach about all the sins of the United States and all the fools that run the country and all the foolish people that deny and fear and do no longer fear God. We could do that all day long. But unless we have a solution to the problem, it's not doing us any good. What's our solution? Our solution is to see what the Bible said. Look what the Bible said there in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. We must once again become a nation of godly people, a nation that fears God. We must throw out all the politically correct stuff that's drawing us down today. Everybody's afraid today. They're walking on pins and needles today, tiptoeing around everything like you're walking on eggshells. Friends, I don't want you to know we need to put that stuff away, and we need to get out the Bible. And we need to say, this is what God says about our nation. This is what God says about how my family should be raised. This is what God says about how I should live and conduct my life and my business. We got too many Christians today that are conducting businesses and their lives exactly like the world is. And when you can't tell the Christian from the ungodly world today, there is a bad problem. It's become a nation of fools, those that no longer fear God. If we had a fear of God, a fear like the Bible speaks of, we would live a life as a Christian would live. We would see this nation once again become a godly nation. What does it take? The last time we saw it even come where near that was on 9/11, when for about 2 weeks this nation turned around and it looked like we were going to have revival and everybody was going to church and everybody was flying flags and talking about God and blessing God and God blessing our nation, and that lasted about 2 weeks. And after that, what have we done? Ever since then, we have went straight downhill. This nation has gotten worse and worse and worse ever since then. What's it going to take to turn us around? We must fear God. He said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Our own president said this is not a Christian nation. It was a Muslim nation. And he named off all these other false religions. Friends, this is a Christian nation. It could once again be a great godly nation. But it takes men and women like you and like me to stand up on godly morals and values and stand for what is right and elect officials that believe in godly values and listen to what they're saying. Friends, we will stand before a righteous judge one day. We will answer for those things that we have done since we've been saved. Oh, we're not going to be judged for our sins and sent to hell for it. But we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible is very plain on that. And we'll answer for those things. What are we going to say when we stand there and you say, well, what about these men that you put into office that aborted babies and were for that? What about these men that legalized same-sex marriage? What about these men you supported and you pulled the handle or you pushed the button and voted for them? What are you going to say? You're not going to be able to say anything because it's all going to be upon us. We did it. This nation has went to a nation of fools because we've allowed it to. Men and women. I'm going to blame squarely upon the shoulders of the church, upon the Christians of the nation. We've allowed this to happen. When we've backed down, we've cowered. We stood in the background. Oh, we don't hurt anybody's feelings. Oh, we don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. Meanwhile, they roughshod over anything of our values, of our Christian beliefs. And that's what's going on in this nation today, this nation of fools. We need to be a nation that the Bible says, do you see what it said in our text there in verse 8 of Psalm 33? Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. When's the last time you saw a man stand up on the public podium and stand in awe of God, that feared God and stood in awe of Him? Do you realize what that word awe is? I mean, it's awesome. That's where we get our word awesome. We stand in awe because it's so inspiring. It's so awesome to us that we can't even fathom the things that's going on. God, it should be that way to the Christian. We should stand in awe of what He's done. Can you imagine the God that breathed the life into man out of dirt? How many today can do that? No one else. Only the God of heaven. And we should stand in awe of that. The God that created this beautiful land that we live in. You can go out and drive down these roads and see some of the most beautiful scenery you've ever seen in your life. That was no accident. That was no big bang. That was God creating and painting this world with His own hand. And we should stand in awe of our Heavenly Father. And we should fear Him for who He is and for what He can do and what He has done, and stand in awe of Him and fear Him. That's how our nation can get back to the nation that we need to be. We need to be a nation of men and women that raise up children to be godly children, to have them in Sunday school, to learn the Word of God, to teach them in our homes, to teach them godly principles. That's the kind of nation that we need to be.
One that fears God.
And that knows that one day we'll answer for how we raised our family.
We'll answer for how we treated our neighbor. We'll answer for everything that we did in this world.
As we're here to magnify the Son now. Once you've been saved, that's your job. It's to magnify Him and to glorify Him and to bring honor and glory to Him. That last verse in 13, and we'll close, the Bible says, "The Lord looketh from heaven. He holdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works." That God of heaven that we're standing in awe of today, He's looking out. The Bible says He's looking out on all this earth. On everybody. He knows your heart. He knows every thought in your head. The Bible says He even knows the hairs on your head. He can count them. He knows them. Friends, He's such a mighty and awesome God. My question to you today, do you know Him? Do you know Him enough that you do fear Him? That you do stand in awe of Him? If you don't know Him that way, friends, you need to get to know Him before it's too late. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. If you leave this church today and you've not been saved, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, friends, you will die and you will go to a place called hell if you've never trusted Christ. I want them to come and get the invitation song today. And I want you to stand and I want us to pray together. And if you are saved today, I want you to earnestly be praying for those that may not be saved today, that may need to come down this altar and turn their heart over to Jesus. To come down and ask Jesus for forgiveness and ask Him to enter into their heart. The Bible says to call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray together, church. Father, we thank You so much, God, for the message today. Lord, I pray that it's helped somebody today, Lord, that Your Word's gone out and done a mighty work in somebody's heart. God, if not in this building, then whoever may hear it on sermon audio or YouTube or the radio, God, wherever it may be broadcast today, Lord, I'm praying that You enter in their hearts, God, and You convict them and show them the need, Lord, the need of salvation. God, I pray for this nation today. Lord, I pray for the Christians of this nation that will stand up, Lord, and we'll stand boldly on Your name. God, that we'll be the Christians You'll have us to be. We'll be in fear of You, God. We'll be in awe of You. Lord, if Your people will just do that, God, I know that You'll bless us. And Lord, You'll bless this nation. God, I'm asking for Your help today. Everybody's praying today. If you need help, you come down the altar. Let me pray with you today. You come down if you need help. For any reason.